Awesome. Welcome for joining. I'm your host today. I'm Sam Saggers. Thanks for coming along. Not Jason, obviously. So if you've got any questions, please, today we can shoot the breeze. We can break the show. We can do whatever we want. Let's blow up Wealth Coffee Chats. So we go in a different direction. You guys want a new direction with Wealth Coffee Chats? Well, we can do anything. Any questions you've got on real estate, I'm here to help. But hey, welcome aboard, guys. We've got a lot of people popping in. Morning, Brad, Alex, Luke, Lynn. Thanks for thanks for coming along. Your usual host, Jason, is doing some coaching this morning. So I'm stepping into his shoes. But yeah. Excuse me if I'm not used to the normal rhythm, but we're going to talk property. We're going to talk millennials. Are we all screwed? Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of spatial change when it comes to what's going on. Hey, folks, if you've got any questions, feel free to put it in the chat. But today I thought we would dig into really the idea of aggregate demand when it comes to real estate. It's really good to know what else is happening out there and where people are going to go, what they're going to buy. And quite often, you know, we can get a bit of an uplift if we follow the trend of demographics. So today I want to dig into a little bit about that. We've got some questions flowing in. Alex, your thoughts on the proposed changes, rental reforms, laws in Queensland? Great question. I think sometimes when it comes to the rental market, I know Cass is on, I think he does actually Tuesdays. He's probably the best man to talk to, actually Wednesdays, and he's all over that legislation. I tend to find legislation, just from a macro point of view, just always coming at property investors. I think it's one of the you know, annoying things about property investment, but I never let it derail me. I never stop investing because of, you know, legislation changes that maybe support tenants staying in properties an extra 6 months, whatever it may be. So might pass on that one, Alex, but definitely a good question. I'll throw it over to Cass. Maybe he can do that next Wednesday. He's always looking for a few topics to rattle on and talk about. But questions, put them in the chat. I am Sam Saggers, if we haven't met. I'm the director here at Positive and also head of research and investment. So my job really is to go out and find really real estate concepts, put them together, and try and do my best to help people make some money out of real estate. So I spend a large part of my day just simply out and about seeing what the real estate market has to offer. But I thought today, morning, Jeff. G'day to you. I thought today we would talk about these little pesky millennials. So what is quite interesting is the millennial is today the largest demographic cohort. And I think it's an important kind of concept to understand what the actual cohort of millennials are up to. In fact, if we wanted to look for the actual number one age in Australia today, it's 32 years old. There's 400,000 people today that are basically 32 years of age. And there's a nice little clue in that as to where to next for that part of the housing market. Obviously, 32-year-olds form that sort of family formation stage. So there's going to be a lot of interest for 3- and 4-bedroom products moving over the next decade. And I think if you are sort of building your property strategy, if you've got a next investment, maybe consider those 3- and 4-bedroom products, because a lot of millennials are going to be looking for that product as they form their families, which is really the next phase of demographic shift or that cohort, which is the largest cohort. So remember, we've got the baby boomers, we've got the Gen Xers, which I'm a Gen X, a little bit of a sort of, I won't say nothing generation Gen X, but you know, we're a small generation. Then below us, those people sort of in their 30s today, sort of pushing to their 40s, sort of spread out over that age group, is a large demographic, really big demographic, the millennial. And so if we go and think about where that spatial distribution's going to unfold, it's quite interesting when we look over the next decade as to where housing will be very, very popular. And so if we think about how a city works, you've got sort of your outer edge areas, which are typically quite affordable and full of 3- and 4-bedroom product. Then we've got the middle suburban realm, very expensive, very expensive, controlled for fundamentally by Gen Xers, but more so by the baby boomer cohort. And then that sort of inner area of our cities today has become a very luxury end of town to buy. You know, I would say it's almost very difficult now to even buy a new apartment, say 5 kilometers to the CBD. It's just a very expensive part of town today in most cities. So I would say, you know, that end of town, the inner, is becoming far more luxury. The middle is controlled by the baby boomer cohort, and the outer is really this demand-led space. So it's quite interesting to watch it unfold. And I think when I put my what's going to happen in 2030 hat on, it's quite an interesting kind of dynamic. So follow along here. The 2020s is when future suburbia, all these new suburbs, are going to be very, very popular. And there's going to be a lot of capital growth in the outer suburbs in 2020, no matter what city it is. It could be Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth. The outer suburbs are going to attract the biggest cohort of people. Remember, today there are 400,000 people that are 32 years of age, meaning 32-year-olds, two 32-year-olds together. There's probably a lot of action in that space, and they're going to have a few kids. So they're going to go, where can I buy a 2-, 3-, 4-bedroom product? They're not going to be able to do it in middle suburban Australia. The reason being is a house costs $2, $3, $4 million in middle suburban Australia. So they're going to go to the outer ring. So as an investor, I think you can make a lot of money on the suburban edge of our cities, the better master plan communities. So what's going to happen after that point? Well, that's a good question. In the 2030s, we're going to see the basically edge of the lifespan of the baby boomer generation. So a lot of the older baby boomers are going to start to pass away. Now, they typically are living in very large homes, 5-, 6-, 7-bedroom homes. I know my parents live in a 7-bedroom home, and there's 2 of them. And the home's falling down. It's on a very large block. It's 10 kilometers from the center of Sydney. My dad runs around with buckets when it rains because he won't fix the roof. He's literally going to die in that house, which is an example of what a lot of older Australians are going to do. And, of course, what's going to happen is a lot of older Australians, you'll have probably a lot of older female widows in middle Australia in middle suburbs into the 2030s. Eventually, what's going to happen is that house will become available. And I really think the planning will change to probably support, instead of one house in the middle ring, 4 to 5 to 6 smaller terrace-style townhomes coming into middle suburbia. So the best way to understand it is the largest cohort is going to the outer edge. They will then make some money. Remember, they're going to the outer edge with fairly well no money. The government will give them a grant. They've got basic levels of savings, but they can get a home loan. They can buy an $800,000, $900,000 new house and land package. That house and land package will go up in value, and they'll make $300,000, $400,000 over the next 10, 15 years. They're going to take that $300,000 that they've made, and once they've created the gain, they're actually going to move into those middle suburbs in the 2030s. And what they will buy is not what is typically there now, large 7-bedroom homes. They'll be very much content with a nice, well-located terrace or townhome for the price you can get in those markets. So they'll be upgrading, but to a smaller space when the kids are a little bit older. So that's going to be the demand that is going to unfold in Australia. And if we think about where to look in the outer suburbs, what we're looking for is the sort of major catchments of jobs in the outer precincts. And Bernard Salt, the great demographer, kind of calls it sort of scrambled egg economics. It's sort of, we often think of where jobs are as the city and, you know, everyone feeds into the city, but it's not necessarily the case. There are job centers, you know, in all over cities. And really the idea from a research perspective is you're trying to find job centers that link to basically affordable yet investable yet highly livable areas in the outer precinct. There's a lot of money to be made over the next decade in those outer areas. So then you've got, obviously, the regional backdrop, which is quite interesting. And again, it's incredibly challenging today to find affordable and livable suburbs in urban areas. And so for a lot of millennials, they've also drifted out to basically regional areas. Now, regional sometimes, the definition of it is a little bit skewed. For example, the Gold Coast is considered regional. Newcastle is considered regional. In my mind, going to those places, they're huge. So they're not what I would refer to as regional. But ultimately, as a millennial, your choices are urban, outer, to have those families. So we know there's going to be demand there, and or regional areas as well. The challenge with regional and urban is now they're fairly well the same price. Like it's in fact, the regional city of the Gold Coast is the second most expensive city in Australia. So they're not much cheaper, which is the interesting part. But if we look at regional spatial change, in the 2020s, regional areas don't really have an outer ring, or they don't have a middle ring. So you basically could be from one side to the city to the other side of the city within sort of 20 minutes. So they basically are missing a populace in their city profile. And so what we will see is anyone who buys, for example, in an outer area of a regional city, you know, outer Newcastle, outer Toowoomba, outer Gold Coast, they may feel like they're the furthest away, but over the next 10, 15 years, it's not going to be the case. The outer ring will become the middle ring of regional marketplaces because there will be a lot of people effectively headed to those regional areas to buy housing, a lot of millennials. So really the trick for property investors today is to consider where will the millennials go and should we be investing alongside them? And I think there's a lot to be said when it comes to this conversation around where the millennials are headed. Remember, there is a great wealth transformation going to unfold in the 2030s. And when we think about real estate, there's a lot of spatial transformation unfolding all the time. There's also structural shifts. And structural shifts create a value change in real estate. We've had a structural shift in the 1970s, double income families. You put two double income families together, you get a structural change in the value of real estate. It doubles in price. In the 1980s, 90s, structural change in how lending worked, more lending into the market, created liquidity in the market, you got a structural change in real estate values. Early 2000s, massive wage spiral, structural change in real estate. In the 2020s, we had COVID, massive structural change in real estate. There was ability to borrow money. So in the 2030s, there's going to be a big change in real estate values. It's going to be driven off baby boomers basically passing on their wealth through the family formation. But what it's going to do as well, as the baby boomers die, their real estate stock's going to also be basically changed dramatically. And if we think about really just go through what that could look like, is a couple of economics forecasters have come out with some big capital growth rates over the next 3 to 5 years, because ultimately there's not a lot of product and Australia is still very much connected to where the population growth is coming into the country. So look at some of these numbers. This is Oxford Economics. House price now till 2027, Sydney 1.369 to 1.9. Like, that is a massive, massive boom that Oxford Economics is predicting. Look at Melbourne, 915 to 1.28, Brisbane 895 to 1.21. Some big numbers, Adelaide, Perth, big number, 707 to 1.05. Then if we switch to the apartment space, which is not being produced at the moment, this is supply data. Look at Melbourne. It goes from 612 to 780, a massive, massive capital gain. And so it's some interesting times ahead, folks. I wouldn't sit on the fence here if you've got some pocket money to put into the real estate market. There is some big, big growth forecasts based on what's going on. It's kind of sort of three parts to this puzzle: what Australia's going to do and what you can buy, and of course, what aggregate demand will buy. Aggregate demand is fundamentally your downsizers, your right sizers, your upgraders, your first home buyers. I think from a millennial perspective, which is the biggest cohort, we know what they're going to do. They're going to be looking for those 3 to 4 bedroom products to have their little rat pack, their kids. So think about the 2020s. That aggregate demand is going to be looking a lot for 3 and 4 bedroom product. But as we know, what will Australia do? Well, past policies has been to basically stop the production of real estate, and it's really backfiring. You've had APRA, you've had building code changes, and really that in itself has stopped a lot of real estate being produced. Obviously, on the flip side of that, we've had things like COVID, interest rate cuts, and we always are fueling these concessions for first home buyers. But from a medium term, there's going to be a lot of planning changes for density, and we'll see that in the outer ring for the demographic being the millennial. The middle ring is going to end up being a place where there's more density, which is really how it's going to unfold. But if we were to think about Australia's plan, right, lots of overseas migration, we know that. It's going to mean a lot of growth into our urban areas. We can see here in the green, using Sydney as an example, where the most growth is going to be. This is where the demand's going to be. And it's really a combination of population growth, which then pushes out the millennials to those affordable outer suburbs. And then they're looking for the 3 to 4 bedroom homes. And again, because there's so much demand for the product, it'll push the value of the product up. So I really think the 2020s is really a decade for suburban edge areas, because they're going to do very, very well off the back of the demographic profile that is unfolding. Now, obviously, a higher population can cause social challenges, social cohesion challenges. It certainly makes real estate less affordable. And so obviously, you know, that's the downside of more people, a higher growth rate in your population base. The upside is obviously there's more jobs, there's more economic growth, in theory, more innovation. So Samir Chopra came along to our mentoring and sort of, you know, explained this quite well. Really, the triple boost over the next 15 years for people is population, more jobs, and higher wages. And you can see the wage growth goes from, say, 2023, 96,000 as a average wage to 2033, $132,000. So again, incomes are going to grow. People, there's going to be more people that you're competing with when it comes to real estate investment. But ultimately, there will be a bigger economy, $860 billion in the economy more, that you are essentially part of that production, which is what it is. But this is probably the last slide I wanted to kind of end on, which today, if you can imagine, we've got wages which have been quite stagnant for a decade. They call it the lost decade. So if we go to the sort of bottom left corner of the slide, you'll see really between now and 2030, there's going to be income growth. So wages should grow. The millennials, which looks like it's spelt wrong there, but the millennials are having children. And what that's also doing, it means that there's a lot of mums and dads at work, and there's even a lot of mums who can't work today. And so because you've got a large demographic cohort of people raising children, which are your fundamental main workforce, there's a lot of people sitting out of the jobs market at the moment, basically bringing up kids. And again, this creates a skills shortage. And because, there's basically a skill shortage, you get a low, basically jobless rate. Like everyone's got a job. It's basically 0% unemployment virtually in this country. And then you're creating high migration with a demographic that it fundamentally is raising children being your largest cohort. So what that does is it creates income growth, because there's too much work and there's not enough essentially workers, which is the interesting kind of dynamic of that concept. So I know working with millennials, we're quite good here at Positive. We let them, you know, bring their kids along, so to speak. There's a lot of work from home, which helps. I don't know, I was on Zoom yesterday and there must have been about 10 nude kids running around in the background, little 1 and 2 year olds. It's just like it's part of our workforce, but I know for a lot of other workforces, it's very, very challenging because, you know, those environments aren't supported. So if we go up to the top section, we look at the investment section. You want to invest in longevity assets, real sustainable longevity assets, because if we go to the flip side of that, it's going to be hard to do, for example, it's going to be hard to get trades. Like the trade boom is not going away anytime soon. I don't know, if I was having a kid today, I'd tell him to become a carpenter or a plumber. There's going to be so much work for that space because of the skills shortage. And so I'm a big believer in avoid the skill shortage by owning a sustainable longevity asset. So I'm a big believer in buy something modern now or renovate now, because it's going to get harder as the 2030s come around, because you're going to have a real skill shortage of trades. We've got it now, a skill shortage of trades. And arguably a lot of people today, you know, it's probably less glamorous than ever to jump into a trade, and that's a challenge. And so as time goes on, there's even more challenges ahead. So if we go back to Samir's, dialogue around why wage growth, that's why. That's why we're going to get wage growth, skill shortage. There's going to be lots of jobs for everyone, and a higher population growing the economy. So that's it today, folks. I don't know how to end that, but that's the demographic profile of Australia today. Those pesky millennials. Be part of the millennial economy is my advice. If you want to make some money, some of those 3 and 4 bedroom products today look pretty good. Remember, the inner and middle ring today, it's kind of unaffordable for them. So if you've got real estate there, it doesn't make it any less valuable. It actually makes it more valuable because generationally speaking, there's just more money in those areas. They're becoming real wealth enclaves. All right, folks, that's it from me. Hope that was interesting. I'll stop sharing, and here I am. I'm going to say goodbye. Thanks for tuning in. You'll get your regular host back next week, but tomorrow we've got Brad, and he will be talking finance. I'm really enjoying Brad's topics, so tune in tomorrow for finance. Have a great day. Thanks for the shout-outs. Awesome. Take care.